Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and it may only be Monday, but there was a lot of news coming out of the nation's capital this weekend, which makes it a great time for a congressional conversation. Joining us on the line is Congressman Jim McGovern. He represents Massachusetts' 2nd District, which includes Worcester, Leominster, and Northampton. He's the chair of the House Committee on Rules and a member of the Agriculture Subcommittee on Nutrition, Oversight, and Department Operations. Congressman McGovern, welcome back to Radio Boston.
I'm happy to be with you.
And here's your chance to join the conversation and speak with a member of the Massachusetts delegation, especially if you live in the 2nd District. What issues are most important to you? What should Congress be working on? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. All right, Congressman McGovern, let's start with SNAP, the program that people often refer to as food stamps. The U.S. Right. Department of Agriculture has proposed closing what they call a loophole in the program that the Trump administration says is going to save about $2.5 billion a year. What do you make of their proposal?
Well, I think it's a disgusting and rotten thing to do to people who are struggling. I mean, basically, their proposal would kick an estimated 3 million Americans off of SNAP, including kids, working families, military veterans, disabled individuals, seniors. And on top of that, if he gets his way with this rule, hundreds of thousands of children will be ineligible for free breakfast and lunch at school. So, I guess you save money. But you end up creating a whole bunch of other costs in other areas. Don't forget children who go to school hungry don't learn. People who do not have access to adequate nutrition end up in emergency rooms. So he may think he's saving money on one end, but what he's actually doing is creating all kinds of costs on the other end.
So, Congressman, those are impacts on people currently receiving the benefits who need them. Isn't it also legitimate to want to eliminate fraud and waste from these kinds of programs, and wouldn't this proposal do that?
No, well, I want to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse from every program. And if we want to talk about where it's most rampant, let's look at the defense budget. SNAP is one of the most efficiently and effectively run programs in the federal government. But this is not about eliminating fraud, waste, or abuse. I mean, basically, your states have some flexibility in who gets SNAP benefits. It is mandatory that people at 130% of the poverty level are eligible for the benefit. But in some states, like Massachusetts, that have higher costs of living, they can extend that to 200% of the poverty level. So what Trump wants to do is basically say, no, it could only be at 130%. So anybody above that is ineligible. And by the way, 43 states in this country, including states with Republican governors, would be adversely impacted. So Trump claims he wants to help people get off of federal benefits. Well, the bottom line is, sometimes people need a little bit of help until they get to the point where they can actually afford expenses like, you know, the cost of rent or childcare on their own. And that's what this categorical eligibility rule is designed to do. And Trump wants to take it away. And the only reason why he wants to take it away is because it's red meat for his right wing base.
What about you? Have you used SNAP, or what other questions do you have for Congressman Jim McGovern while he's with us here on Radio Boston? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Congressman, the Agriculture Secretary, Senator Perdue, has said that SNAP should be, quote, a temporary safety net. And he's also said that the administration wants to help people move away from SNAP dependency. There's an argument here that this is about moving from long-term dependency to reinstating SNAP as a more temporary benefits program. Enrollment peaked around 2013. We do know that unemployment has gone down since then. The economy is stronger. So how do you think about this argument that these kinds of benefits should be temporary and this is a way to ensure that?
Well, first of all, the Secretary of Agriculture knows better. He should look at his own statistics. The majority of people on SNAP are people like children, senior citizens, people who are disabled. Of those who are able to work, the vast majority of them work. I mean, many people on SNAP are working, but they earn so little, they still qualify for the benefit. So that's number one. Number two, the average family is on SNAP for about a year or less. mean, that's the average time span that somebody's on the benefit. So when people talk about lifetime of dependency, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Look at their own statistics. Look at the USDA's own statistics. And when Sonny Perdue became Secretary of Agriculture, he came before the Agriculture Committee, and I asked him about SNAP. I said, I heard rumors that the administration wants to cut the benefit or restrict eligibility or make it more difficult for people to enroll. I said, what do you think, Mr. Perdue? And his response to me was, SNAP is a great program. It feeds hungry people. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And now all of a sudden, after being with the Trump administration for, a couple of years, he wants these drastic revisions that, again, will throw millions of people off the benefit and throw hundreds of thousands of kids off of free breakfast and lunch at school.
Congressman,
now, why? Yeah.
Well, you talk about there being a change in the Department of Agriculture and Sonny Perdue's attitude. We do know that some of this was kind of talked through, litigated, if you will, during the negotiations around the 2018 Farm Bill. And
right.
Congress voted not to make these cuts. So is this an end run around the legislature to do this through an administrative department as opposed to through the Farm Bill?
I think it is. You're absolutely right. I mean, the Republicans in the House proposed some of these draconian cuts in the SNAP benefit, and at the end of the day, the Congress rejected it, and we passed a farm bill with overwhelmingly bipartisan support. Now, all of a sudden, we have the administration coming in with these cuts that were specifically rejected by a broad bipartisan group of members of Congress. So, look, we're going to fight them, and maybe we'll have to take this to court, but the idea that, that we're going to try to find savings by taking food out of the mouths of children, taking food away from poor families, is really a disgusting idea, and it needs to be rejected, and we need to push back.
What would you like to ask Congressman Jim McGovern? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take some calls now. We've got Carol from Medford on the line. Carol, what would you like to talk to the congressman about?
Well, I think the president's proposal is a travesty and people will be going hungry. And I'm an educated woman who had to use SNAP for a short time because I was unemployed for a couple of years. But I just want to know how they're going to propose to fight it and how can we stop it so we don't have people going hungry when they just need a little assistance.
Carol, thanks for sharing your story with us. Go ahead, Congressman.
Well, I think the way we're going to fight it is to question whether they have the legal authority to do this, given the fact that Congress already voted on a farm bill which specifically rejected these cuts. But if necessary, we might have to go to court. And if not, we're going to have to put language in must-pass bills to basically prohibit them from doing this. I mean, look, we live in the richest country in the history of the world, and we got 40 million people who are food insecure who don't know where the next meal is going to come from. We all should be ashamed of that fact. And the idea that somehow that SNAP, is a problem. SNAP basically doesn't even solve the problem of food insecurity. The benefit on average is about $1.40 per person per meal. You can't even buy a cup of coffee with that. That's why most families on SNAP end up at food banks midway through the month. So, if you want to find ways to save money, look at the Pentagon budget. Look at the cost overruns on some of these missile systems that the president is so excited about. That's where you'll find real savings.
So, Congressman, hunger has been an issue for you. You've really worked on this for a long time, and I know just a few weeks ago you toured parts of your district with the Massachusetts Summer Food Service Program. Tell us a little bit about that tour. What did you see? What did it leave you thinking?
Well, I was also with Project Bread, who accompanied me as well. Well, look, hunger is the worst during summer months, and that's because kids aren't going to school and kids don't have access to, regular breakfast and lunch. And so summer feeding programs, have been established all across the country. But the challenge is that a lot of kids don't have transportation to those sites. In some places like Worcester, where I'm from, they have mobile vans that take, food to different parts of the city, which has been very, very effective. But the other thing I learned, which is really kind of sad, is that in some places, the attendance for summer feeding has gone down because people are so afraid of Trump's xenophobic talk on immigration. People have told me that children are being kept away from these programs because there may be somebody in their household who might be undocumented, or they may just because they're recent immigrants and may be here, you know, totally with all the documentation, may be nervous about being questioned by federal authorities. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to fear, but nonetheless,
you're saying it has a suppressive effect on people.
Yeah, I mean, hearing the president, you know, rant every week about rounding people up, it has had a very negative impact. But we need to find ways to expand summer feeding and get to the places that where it's difficult for young kids to be able to otherwise get their meals.
All right, let's take a couple more calls. Debbie from Pepperell's on the line. Hi, Debbie. What would you like to talk to the congressman about?
Hi. Real quick question. So I would like to know why the state of Massachusetts cannot just provide free lunches and breakfast to every kid in school, because there are still schools that shame their kids. If you don't have the money to pay for your lunch that day, or you owe money, they give you a cheese sandwich, and that's just horrible to some of these kids. And I just don't understand why we can't do that for everybody.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. If I had my way, I would make sure that the federal government provided the resources so that every child in school had access to a free breakfast and free lunch. You know, that lunch or that breakfast is every bit as important to that child's ability to learn as a textbook. And kids who go to school hungry can't learn. And, the problem comes is that some people don't qualify for free breakfast lunch. They qualify for a reduced cost of breakfast and lunch. And they may have a couple of kids in school, and then the money adds up and families can't afford it. And then we're hearing cases where in some school systems these kids are being shamed, which I think is a horrific thing to do. I mean, we ought to be able to cover this, and we ought to understand the importance of nutrition and how it relates to learning. And by the way, this is not just a challenge for kids who are from struggling families. All young people ought to have access, easy access, to good nutrition in schools.
So we're going to come back to hunger on tomorrow's show with some folks who work directly with the SNAP program. I want to get to some other major issues now, and I want to invite you to call in and have a conversation with Congressman Jim McGovern. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What are your questions, or what's important to you that the congressman pay attention to? Let's take a call now from Bettina in Acton. Bettina, what would you like to talk to the congressman about?
I'd like to bring up the subject of infrastructure promised by this president of ours. And in the Acton area, as Jim McGovern well knows, transportation has become a major issue. And the frustration of people on the road is really awful. And also public transportation should be provided in some of these areas like Avalon and other places to take the load off of separate cars going out all over the place. There's no good public transportation in these towns. There's no consistent development of improvements of roads. That's my question. Vote to CC.
Bettina, stay with us, and let's hear what the congressman has to say.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very, very good question. And quite frankly, the one area where I thought there might be bipartisan agreement with the president on is the issue of transportation and infrastructure. He said when he ran for president that that was one of his priorities. And yet we have tried to work with him to get him to agree to support a comprehensive infrastructure bill, and he has, consistently found excuses why not to do it. I mean, most recently, a few months ago, Nancy Pelosi went to see him and said, look, you know, our roads and bridges are falling apart. We need help. And we figure it's at least $1.5 trillion. The president said, well, probably more like $2 trillion. Pelosi said, fine, let's agree on that. All right, now we have to come up with the pay for it. President said, I'm with you. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, he backed away from it all because he doesn't want to, you know, pay for anything. And he doesn't want to be able to, he doesn't want to raise revenues in any way, shape, or form because he's afraid that'll take off his base. So we're going to come up with our own infrastructure bill and try to move it over to the Senate. But you're right about one thing. I mean, our roads and our bridges, especially here in Massachusetts, are in sad shape. I mean, I appreciate all the hard work our state transportation department is doing, but but the bottom line is, I mean, our roads are, our bridges in Massachusetts are older than most other states in this country, and so instead of paying for infrastructure, the president wants to give tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires. I think we ought to be focused on, you know, fixing our infrastructure because that'll be good for our economy.
So Bettina finished taking her call offline, Congressman, but I do want to invite others to call in. What would you you like to ask Congressman Jim McGovern? What's important to you for Congress this year? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Congressman, there's so much news from the nation's capital, so let's turn our attention there. I'd like to start just by asking you about the departure of Dan Coats. We learned today that he's the Director of National Intelligence. He's going to leave the administration in August. What did you make of Coats' time as the Director of National Intelligence?
Well, I mean, this administration scares the hell out of me, quite frankly. But I thought Dan Coats was at least one adult in the room. And he.
You mean in foreign policy it scares you?
In foreign policy and in national security issues.
How so?
Well, because he was the one who was always trying to caution against rushing into a war. He was the one who was always reminding the president and his administration that, that what the intelligence has stated under Obama and under Trump is that Russia meddled in our elections in 2016. And we ought to take it seriously. He was the one who urged us to take a more constructive role with regard to Iran. And now he's leaving. I think probably because he's either frustrated or because he knows that the president is tired of him, and the president's going to replace him with an ideologue who will be a yes man, and that's not what we need. We need people who take these spots in our national security agencies who are straight shooters, who are not engrossed in partisan politics, but who instead, want to look at the intelligence and analyze it objectively and give the president the best advice possible.
So, Congressman, there seems to be a bit of a phenomenon where when President Trump has nominated or appointed somebody to a position, at first Democrats express some real reservations or concern or maybe sometimes even dismay. But then when that person leaves, there's a concern that the next person will be worse. And suddenly Coats, for example, doesn't look as bad as maybe he did to a Democrat when he came in. How did you feel about Dan Coats at the beginning, and has your view of him changed during this administration?
Well, look, we have disagreements on a lot of issues when he was in the Congress. He and I differed on a lot of things, but I always thought he was a decent man who would take the job seriously. I didn't criticize Dan Coats when he took that position or he was appointed to that position. I thought that given who's in the White House, the Dan Coats is a grown-up. I said the same thing about H.R. McMaster. I didn't agree with the guy he was working for, but I thought he would provide information that was objective and that was honest. Those people are being pushed out, and instead we're getting yes men and yes women into these positions. And it makes me, eager to get this either to see this president impeached or get to the next election as quickly as possible so we can restore some sanity in the White House.
Let's talk about Coats' replacement, because the president tweeted on Sunday that he's going to nominate Representative John Ratcliffe as successor. People have expressed concerns, like former DNI James Clapper and others, over Ratcliffe's lack of experience. Let's listen to him during the Mueller hearings last week.
I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where Volume 2 of this report puts him.
What do you make of Ratcliffe as the next DNI?
I'm not at all enthused about that possibility. I serve with him in the House. I view him as a Trump loyalist, as somebody who gets out there and rationalizes every distasteful thing that this president says or does. I don't view him as somebody who's objective who would... quite frankly, be the right person for the position that that Mr. Coats had. So I am not at all comfortable with his nomination.
Let's take a couple of calls. We've got Gene from Northborough on the line. Gene, welcome. What would you like to say to the congressman?
Hi. I just wanted to ask about whether there's any utility at all in even hoping for change in Washington during this administration, and particularly concerned about climate change and the fact that our planet has no time to lose, and we're losing.
Go ahead, Congressman.
I share your concern about the climate crisis. I mean, it is. Look at the record heat waves that we are experiencing all over the world. We see, glaciers the size of Manhattan breaking off of Antarctica, and we see our sea levels rising, and we're seeing these incredible storms, and we're running out of time. Every scientist of any repute has made it clear that this is real, and yet we have a president, we have a Senate majority leader who denied that climate change is even an issue, and it's just hard for me to believe. So, look, I think we need to, you know, I think we need to get progress on this. Let's just be very honest. I mean, we need to win seats in the House so we can maintain control of the House. We need to win the Senate back, and we need a different president, one who actually believes that this is a problem that needs to be dealt with. We have some good legislation that's before the Congress that, you know, I think could help, you know, lay the groundwork for some progress on this issue. But everything we pass in the House, you know, goes to Mitch McConnell's graveyard in the Senate. So people need to understand this is an important issue, and we're running out of time. If we don't do something soon, it'll be too late.
We've got a lot of callers. So let's go to Moss from Cambridge. Moss, welcome to Radio Boston. What's on your mind?
No, my name is Mark. So
Mark.
You're good. That's okay. So all I've heard is bashing of the president since you guys have gotten on the line together. And I'm just wondering if there's anything that he's done that's done right. I mean, this country right now has the best economy on earth. We have the lowest unemployment rate in blacks, Hispanic, Asian, women in 74 years, more Hispanics buying houses now. I mean, we're exporting power, energy. There are so many great things going on in this country. And you're talking about the 1%. You're talking about immigration, how horrible that is. Yet him and Obama weren't far from each other as far as deporting people. But
so, Mark, let me give the congressman a chance to answer your question. That question about what has the president done that you've agreed with, Congressman?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. There's not a hell of a lot that he's done that I could agree with.
Mark talks about strong economy, good jobs.
Mark has a strong economy, but yet, you know what? When I crisscross my district and I talk to people who are working not just one but two jobs, they're barely able to make ends meet. They're, you know, unable to make any headway. I mean, the wages are flat. You know, people are working harder than ever. And we have to understand that the economy is not working for everyone. So Trump comes up with these numbers. But when you talk to real people, in Massachusetts and across the country, they're struggling. Many people, you know, we talked earlier about SNAP. I mean, many people, the majority of people who are able to work, you know, who are on SNAP are working. They're working. They're earning so little, they still qualify for the benefits. So when you talk about, oh, the economy is great, all these jobs, well, yeah, there's lots of jobs out there, but they're not paying a livable wage. And I'm someone who believes that if you work for a living, you ought to not have to live in poverty. And yet too many of our fellow citizens do. I mean, we've done nothing on climate change. I mean, that's a huge issue. It's not all just Trump's fault, by the way. And this is a long-term problem in our country, and, you know, we all have to assume responsibility. But, I mean, this president passed a tax cut. It didn't help the middle class. It helped, you know, the well-off and the well-connected.
So,
I mean, most people I talk to, people that I bump into, you know, into donut shops in the morning or diners in the afternoon, or I bump it down the street, they didn't benefit from the tax cut. Yet it added $2 trillion to our debt, and the rich got richer, and the middle class continue to struggle.
To interrupt, Congressman, and I appreciate that answer. There is one other subject. We don't have a lot of time left with you. On a heartbreaking note, the country saw another shooting at a public event over the weekend. And it's hard enough that it doesn't make headlines, but we don't want to let it pass without raising with you and asking you, you know, three people dead, 12 injured. Does this move the needle for Congress? Will we see any actions on guns? And what does it say that this story wasn't the top of our discussion and isn't necessarily the top of every headline today?
I mean, what it says is that we're getting numb to it. I mean, it's becoming so commonplace that people aren't shocked anymore. And that is really a sad reality. We live in a country where massacres occur on a regular basis. We live in a country where in some states it's easier to buy a gun than it is to register to vote. We in the House, we took some action. We actually passed universal background checks, and we closed some loopholes in our gun laws that make it easier for people to get guns who shouldn't get guns. But quite frankly, we need to do much more, and we need to get the United States Senate to actually debate these issues and vote on them, and we need a president who will sign it. Look, I've met with the families who lost their kids in Sandy Hook. I've met with the students from Parkland. I've met with, you know, people who lost their children, their husbands, and their wives to gun violence. And it is so, so sad. And it doesn't have to be. I mean, the bottom line is that we have to do something. And I want to extend my condolences to those at the Gilroy Gaelic Festival. Gaelic Festival. Those families are suffering, it is a terrible tragedy. But there's something. This is something we could do something about. We need the political will in Washington to do it.
Okay, quick last question for you. The House is on break. It'll be back in session in September. What's a big issue you'll be prioritizing when the House is back in session?
Well, we have to pass, you know, all of our appropriations bills so we can fund the government. I think we need to address the crisis at the border. The gentleman who called earlier said there's no difference between Obama and Trump. There's a big difference. President Obama didn't separate children from their parents at the border. And I was at the border a couple of weeks ago, and what I saw made me sick to my stomach, that this kind of cruelty was happening in the United States of America. So we need to address that crisis as well. We need to get a transportation and infrastructure bill done. We need to do something on the issue of the climate crisis, which is another big issue. So there's lots of stuff that we need to do. We are doing things in the House. And I just wish Mitch McConnell would take some of them up and debate them in the Senate. If he doesn't agree with everything, fine, change some things. But let's start moving forward in a constructive way to actually help the people of this country.
Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern represents the 2nd District, which includes Amherst, Grafton, and Worcester. Congressman McGovern, thanks so much for your time today.
All right, thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, Columbia Gas settles with Merrimack Valley businesses for $143 million. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.